Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 46 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
Even though these attacks are going to happen, particularly with the federal programs,
officials say a cyber attack on the Kentucky unemployment insurance system was unsuccessful.
An election reform bill is headed to the full House.
Kentucky drivers might have to pass a vision test when renewing their license.
No-knock warrants are one step closer to being abolished in the Commonwealth.
Teachers are frustrated over standardized testing.
In sports, basketball, softball, baseball, football, and volleyball are on schedule for weekend action.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Rain expected overnight, with temperatures rising to around 47 by 5 a.m. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Officials say no claimant data was obtained during a cyber attack on the state's unemployment system website this week, but the unemployment office is continuing to monitor the situation. The attempt to flood the unemployment site with random login names was unsuccessful, but the Kentucky Office of Homeland Security, the Labor Cabinet, and the state's technology office are keeping a close eye on the system. Governor Beshear's general counsel, Amy Kubich, said efforts to breach the database are not unexpected, given the increased resources being poured into unemployment systems.
Even though these attacks are going to happen, particularly with the federal programs that have so many dollars available, our office was able to fend off that attack and keep the system only down for about an hour.
As an added layer of security, the UI Office of Unemployment uses a system which thwarts spam and automated attempts to extract data. Kubich said there have been no reports of users having any issues accessing the site. Security breaches of the unemployment system in 2020 did result in some filers being able to view other claimants' information.
An election reform bill that takes moderate steps towards permanently adopting some widely praised changes made during the 2020 election cleared another hurdle in the General Assembly on Thursday. University of Kentucky election law professor Joshua Douglas believes most provisions will improve Kentucky's election system. But Douglas would like to see language that goes further.
The current proposal only allows for a ballot cure for a signature mismatch. But there are other problems with ballots that can arise. In addition, the cure process closes on election day, which is concerning because if a ballot arrives on election day itself, there'll be no opportunity to cure that ballot if there's a problem.
The reforms allow for 3 days of early voting, bring back the drop boxes used last year, and keep the online portal for absentee ballot requests, though they do not expand who can vote by mail. The bill also makes permanent a ballot curing system that allows voters to correct ballots that were not properly prepared. HB 574, which easily won approval in the House Elections Committee, also sets the rules for future election reforms, placing that power solely with the General Assembly.
Kentucky currently requires a vision screening for new drivers, but not for drivers renewing their license later in life. That would change under a bill passed by the State House on Thursday. WMKY's Ben Hall has the story.
The measure would require a vision screening whenever someone renews their driver's license. Supporters touted it as a traffic safety measure already adopted by 42 other states that require vision screenings during driver license renewals. The vision test could be done by an eye care professional or other health professionals before the license renewal, or the screening could be done at driver's license offices. According to WYMT, anyone failing to meet minimum visual acuity standards would be referred to a vision care specialist. The bill cleared the House on an 89-5 vote and now goes to the Senate. If the bill becomes law, the measure wouldn't take effect until 2024. For WMKY News, I'm Ben Hall.
The Kentucky House has passed a bill allowing felony offenders to tap into scholarship money they earned to pursue post-secondary education degrees. The measure would remove barriers preventing felons from receiving scholarship money under the popular Kentucky Educational Excellence Scholarship Program. The state lottery-supported program allows students to earn money based on academic performance to help defray college expenses. The House passed the bill 96-2 on Wednesday, sending it to the Senate.
A bill limiting the use of no-knock warrants by Kentucky police is on its way to the state Senate. But as WUKY's Josh James reports, the Republican-led reform effort stopped short of the full ban favored by activists.
Rather than remove no-knock warrants from the police toolkit, Senate Bill 4 instead places more controls on when and how they can be used. The controversial warrants could only be issued in cases with, quote, clear and convincing evidence of a violent crime, or if giving notice would endanger the life or safety of any person or result in the loss of evidence. Officers seeking the special warrant would be required to gain approval from a supervising officer, consult with Commonwealth's or county attorneys, and disclose to the judge any other attempts to obtain the warrant. The no-knock tactic came under heavy scrutiny in the wake of the death of Breonna Taylor, who was killed during a police raid in Louisville. Bill sponsor Republican Senate President Robert Stivers told WKYT no matter what an individual is involved in, he or she should be afforded basic rights such as counsel and trial by jury.
This young lady was denied that by a series of bad police judgments. And this bill hopes to correct that.
While the bill doesn't go as far as racial justice advocates would like, it does have bipartisan support, including a Black Democratic co-sponsor, Lexington Senator Reggie Thomas. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said Thursday that he would support the former president again if he secured the Republican nomination in 2024. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
When directly asked if he would support Trump again were he to win the nomination, McConnell responded, quote, absolutely. The relationship between the two soured after Trump's denial of his November 3rd defeat and relentless efforts to reverse the voters' verdict with his baseless claims that Democrats fraudulently stole the election. McConnell's most recent remarks underscore an awkward balancing act he has sought to maintain since Trump lost the election, reflecting the reality that his own path back to power in the Senate hinges on enthusiasm from a party base that still ardently supports the former president. For WMKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
Teachers are expressing their frustration as they prepare their students for the upcoming standardized testing. The Biden administration is giving districts leniency, saying waiver states can apply for test results not to be used to measure progress or identify struggling schools. Kentucky Education Association President Eddie Campbell says there have been classes need to now focus on student needs.
Educators are the experts in teaching and learning, and they know what their students need and where their students are. They know how to assess their kids effectively, and we feel that's where that needs to be placed.
Federal law requires states to test students each school year in subjects such as math and reading in order to gauge a school's progress and identify any learning discrepancy among a group of students.
This week is National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, which is a time to connect people to life-saving support. The National Eating Disorder Association has set up a COVID-19 page of resources and forums showing that during a difficult time, support is still there. NEDA Senior Director Lauren Smolar tells LEX18 messages and calls have increased.
Starting in March, we had a 40% increase in our contacts accessing support from our national helpline.
Smolar says they weren't surprised with the increase given the mental health impacts the pandemic has brought. And now taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast. Tonight, rain mainly after 1 a.m. with the temperature rising to around 47 degrees by 5 a.m. Saturday, rain with a high near 57. Saturday night, an 80% chance of rain and thunderstorms with the temperature rising to around 57 by 5 a.m. Sunday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a high near 65. Sunday night, a 50% chance of rain, mainly before 4 a.m., cloudy with a low around 37.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff has all the answers.
One side effect of the pandemic has been a piling up of mail here in the garage. Concerned and curious listeners have had plenty of time to send inquiries on a range of topics. Let's dive in. Dear John, I've got a pet problem. I don't know which one to get. I'm single and have been bouncing back and forth between cat and dog. Any advice? Signed, Lonely in Pokesville. Well, Lonely, a study published recently in the journal Animals concludes that perceptions of dateability for online profiles of people posing with cats fell by 5 to 10%, regardless of gender, of the person, not the cat. Posing with a dog, however, increased appeal by up to 20%. So I say, go dog if you want to end your dry spell. Hey, Modaf. You lived in Texas for a while. Why are people getting mad at Ted Cruz for a poorly timed vacation when all of Congress is complicit with him in the financial destruction of our country? If you want to hate on Ted or anyone in Congress, hate on them for that. Signed, a proud Kentuckian. I don't know what to say except, good point. Next. Dear Dr. Modaf, I appreciated your words a couple of weeks ago concerning how nice it is to have a new president. Now we don't have to fret about problems such as inappropriate quasi-sexual touching of females, including underage girls, stealing of words from others and passing them off as one's own, willful ignorance of the shady financial dealings of offspring and relatives, racist remarks about one of America's most beloved presidents, and public threats of physical abuse of a sitting president. What a nice change. Signed, Relieved in Rappahannock. A web listener. Dear Rappa, I'm with you and cannot wait until that president leaves office. John, what's this I hear about Yellen favoring the so-called digital dollar? Is this legal? Signed, $2 bill in Ewing. Bill, that's already the case, as the paper note represents a digital dollar. The dollar is fiat currency with nothing to back it up, so the Fed can simply hit some buttons and do what the printing presses used to do. In any case, a digital dollar is worth as much as the paper form. What digitization may be, though, is the first step in phasing out the paper dollar, which would provide complete government control over your currency through digital means. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Dear Bicycle Man, what can I do to get my bike ready for this spring, now just weeks away? Signed, Joni from Jessamine County. Dear Joni, along with the usual, make sure to check your chain. If it's dirty and dry, soak it in kerosene overnight. Drip, then wipe, reinstall, coat with lightweight machine oil. Oh, and keep those tires inflated for durability and safety. Now, if you can't handle all this work, just take it to one of your local, highly qualified, friendly, socially distanced bicycle mechanics. I'm John Modaf.
Dr. John Modaf is an author and retired Morehead State University professor.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Morehead. Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Morehead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
It's 46 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Daria Denisenko, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this Friday evening.
We've got basketball, football, volleyball, baseball, softball, and cross country this weekend. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team is set for some regional action at home this evening. The Vikings are most recently coming off of a road contest against Elliott County, where they grabbed a 59-31 win. Head coach Matt Stokes says this has been a busy week for his team, especially after having off the week prior.
After three games in a week, give the girls a day off, and then get right back in the gym again. Try to, you know, we've been at enough that you hate giving days off, but you also don't want to overdo it and get somebody hurt where they've been in and out so much this season from the gym.
Tip-off against the Lady Cats this evening is set for 7:30. The weekend is nearly here, which means the Rowland County Senior High School boys basketball team is in for some stiff competition. The Vikings have back-to-back home games tonight and tomorrow. Head coach Sean Thacker says things will get underway this evening with Highlands at 6 o'clock.
They're a top 10 team in the state, come out of a northern Kentucky, 9th region, very, very tough region, so it'll be a great challenge for us. Sam Vincent, one of their top players, is already committed to go to the University of Northern Kentucky, Division I school. He's a Mr. Basketball candidate, just like Mason Moore is for us.
Tomorrow night, the Vikings will host Bath County. Tip-off for that contest is set for 7:30. Morehead State Baseball is scheduled to get back to action this weekend when the Eagles face the Ohio Bobcat. The scheduled four-game series will take place in Athens, Ohio, and at Allen Field, weather permitting. The teams are about to begin Game 2 in that series right now. MSU and OU will battle in a doubleheader in Morehead Sunday at 1 p.m. Check MSUEagles.com and social media as field conditions and weather could prevent Sunday's games from being able to be played in Morehead. MSU will look for its first win in 2021, sitting at 0-4. Ohio won the final game of the series with Bradford last weekend after dropping the first two. Morehead State football is on the road again this weekend to open conference play. The Eagles head to Clinton, South Carolina to take on Presbyterian. Though it's been an adjustment for his team to play in the spring this year, head coach Rob Tenure says that his staff was able to use the extra time in the fall to bolster the team's up-and-coming class.
We believe that we've recruited the best class that we've ever recruited here this year. And I think the reason is, as you see all these schools and all these players that are coming back to school, they're not taking as many players, even at the FBS level and certainly at the FCS level. And we feel like we've recruited at the highest level that we've been able to recruit at.
The Eagles are looking to get back into the win column after a rough outing against James Madison to open the season. Kickoff for Morehead State versus Presbyterian is set for noon on Saturday. The Morehead State University women host Belmont tomorrow afternoon. The matchup will be the final game for the Eagles this season. Head coach Greg Todd says while the season has been full of adversity, his team is glad for the opportunity to play.
The league is very good, and lost the starting point guard with ACL, and then our top player had a hard time once COVID hit to get back in from Canada. So it's been a bit kind of tough there as well. But the girls have fought hard, and I couldn't ask for any more.
Tip off between the Eagles and the Bruins is set for 1 p.m. The Eagle men also host their final regular season game on Saturday. MSU hosts Belmont at Johnson Arena, looking for a win after falling to the Bruins on February 13th. Head coach Preston Spratlin says Belmont is one of the top transition offense teams in the country right now.
So we've got to do a better job of playing with more confidence and keep them out of transition. I think if we can make them play in the half court for 40 minutes, and then our defense has proven that we're capable of playing with anybody and stopping anyone. And so that's where I want to see us improve. Second time around playing them in our place.
Tip-off at Johnson Arena is set for 4 p.m. Limited tickets are available at MSUEagles.com. In other MSU action this weekend, MSU's volleyball team welcomes Tennessee State on Sunday and Monday. The 6-0 Eagles' first serve is set for 6 p.m., and tickets are still available. The softball Eagles have a busy weekend schedule in Louisville. MSU will face off with Bellarmine and Western Michigan on Saturday with the first pitch set for 1 p.m. They'll battle the same teams again Sunday beginning at 11 a.m. Morehead's team stands at 2-2 on the young season and will host their home opener next weekend. The men's and women's cross-country teams are traveling to the Ohio Valley Conference meet this weekend. The team is scheduled to leave Sunday afternoon. Head coach Clay Dixon says the goals for both men's and women's teams.
Similar on both. On a good day, we can end up like fourth place. On a bad day, we can end up eighth place, especially with the COVID season. You don't know who's going to show up healthy. We may have somebody who may not show up healthy for all we know. It's going to be, on a great day, we can end up fourth place. It could be muddy and awful course. We just turn out really well, or it could be the exact opposite.
The conference meet will be in Clarksville, Tennessee, hosted by Austin Peay University on Monday. Following the meet results will be up on the university's athletic page at msueagles.com. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Bud Luke has a look at stocks right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Moorhead Primary Care at 333 Beacon Hill Road. Moorhead Primary Care welcomes physicians assistants Kevin Cummins and Alicia Perry, accepting new patients with a focus to build patient and provider relationships for acute and chronic illnesses. Moorhead Primary Care remains committed to the health of our community during this COVID-19 crisis. Office appointments and telehealth available at 606-780-0444. That's 606-780-0444. Or visit the website at moorheadprimarycare.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The market swung wildly today, closing near session lows, with the Dow Industrials dropping 469.64, finishing at 30,932.37. The S&P 500, not quite as weak, down 18.19 at 3811.15. And the NASDAQ Composite actually strong today, finishing with a gain of 72.91, finishing at 13,192.34. And, of course, the NASDAQ helped out by a strength in big tech today, as Facebook, Microsoft, and Amazon, among others, were all up over 1% today. Helping the tech stocks out, in turn, was a drop in interest rates today as the 10-year Treasury yield fell 6 basis points to finish at 1.46%. Energy and financial stocks, which have been recent winners, were your weakest sectors today. Oil itself was down 3%, and gold finished with a loss today of 2.58%. The best performers in the S&P 500 were Etsy, Carnival Cruise, and Starbucks, while the worst performers were EOG Resources, Universal Health, and Salesforce.com. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down 64 cents at 91.55, Fifth Third Bank down 61 cents at 34.69, Marathon Petroleum down 45 cents at 54.62, App Harvest down $2.89 at 30.45, Anthem was up $2.95 at 303.19, and Lowe's was up $1.23, finishing at $159.75. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another quick look at your region's weather forecast, tonight an 80% chance of rain with a steady temperature around 45. Saturday, a 90% chance of rain with a high near 57. Saturday night, an 80% chance of rain and thunderstorms with a temperature around 55.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Shamari Mosley, Lakin Hupp, Ben Hall, Josh Grogan, Daria Denisenko, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.